one like you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Let's sing one more song. Let's sing a song that we cry out. When they weren't feeling well, and for also protecting the rest of the family. Amen. So So God's had a stand of protection over the Delaney family. Amen. Praise the Lord. And one prayer request from our brother Simon. It says, please keep the family of Jacob Byington in prayer. For all those who don't know, Jacob Byington, a.k.a. Newbie, was killed in a car accident this morning. So just remember his family in prayer. And also for those who knew him. Let's just bow our heads in the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly come before you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. God, thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us here this evening, Lord Jesus. God, we just had a reminder this morning, Lord, of your great, Father God, your great, Lord, your will, Father God. Just Father God, the way that it's not up to us, Lord Jesus, God, where we're going tomorrow or what we should do tomorrow, Lord. Father God, it's you, Lord. God, we just realize today, Lord Jesus, God, that we're nothing without you, Lord Jesus. God, that our time here is so short, Father God, Lord, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray, God, right now, Lord, God, for this family, Lord, just bless them, Lord God. Just give them, Father God, a comfort, Lord Jesus, Father God. Help them find comfort in you, Lord Jesus. God, we know our brother Simon witnessed to that man many times, Lord. Over 3 years, he said, Lord. And Father God, we just pray, God, that you just, Lord, just help us, Father God, to just witness to each other, Lord, or to in our own lives, Father God, to others around us, Lord Jesus, Father God, through anybody that we come in contact with. We don't know if we'll see them tomorrow, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy, God, just for bringing us here, drawing us here, Lord. Jesus, not only are we alive, but Father God, you called us, Father God, to be your bride today, Lord. God, you called us, Father God, to see this word, Lord Jesus, so clearly, Lord. God, it's only by your grace, Father God. It's nothing we've done, Lord. God, we just thank you so much for this, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for protecting the Delaney family, God, and all those, Father God, that are here today, Lord. Lord, we just ask, God, you just bless this service, Father God. God, help us to move out of the way as we worship you, Lord Jesus, God. Help us, Father God, just to give over, Father God, everything, God, to yield ourselves, Lord Jesus, God. Help us, Lord, help our brother Brandon, Lord Jesus, just to step aside, God, and let you speak through him this evening, Father God. Let nothing, Father, come in the way, Father God, of receiving from you today, Lord. God, we just love you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, God, that nothing, Father God, nothing Satan can do can hinder this service, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this right now. God, bless the tithing and the offering, God, for the furthering of your kingdom, Lord. It's in your holy and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Satan's trying to hold something back. All right, let's sing this song, "O Lord, Send the Power Just Now." How many know that? song, "Every Promise in the Book is Mine." How many believe that tonight? Every promise in the book is mine. Chief. And every promise in the book is mine.
Thank you. just for a moment, if
you would.
Good to see everybody make it out this evening. Who's been able to come? Surely appreciate Brother Brandon bringing his family. Again, amen. As well as Brother Jared this evening. And certainly appreciate their sacrifice this evening to come on a Wednesday night. And really think that that's really fitting. I'm feeling pretty good. I got back there with Brother Brandon, and the Holy Ghost just starts coming around. And I really love when that happens. But yet this evening, we want to give ample time to the Word of God. And by the grace of God, I just want to sing a song. I'm going to sing that song this evening. I'll try to find a key, sister. Usually sing it pretty high, and I'm not sure which one I'm going to go with tonight. But I'd like to say this just really quickly here. Jake, or a newbie, he worked a little bit on this church. He come by my house one time, and I know he had a few dreams that were a little spiritual. And I would like to say this. I just covet the church to pray at this time. We're living in the end time, and we don't know what the trigger is as far as what's really going to fire this thing off. We know in one aspect it's the World Council of Churches crackdown, but yet God has a desire to work through His church. And though a man die, the Scripture said, Jesus said in John 11, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen? And I want to be found in faith in that hour. And I don't know about you, but the young man was in his 20s. And by the grace of God, I'd just like to say, pray. I'm willing to accept the Lord's will if it was His will for him to pay to pass. But I believe that if God wants the resurrection to come, as far as in a few days or a day, however long it is, that God will anoint, God will bring things around. Amen? I don't know about you. I just feel really pricked in this hour to live like this. Amen? And I pray that you're praying too. Amen? Because we want a God who's on the scene. Amen? We're not looking for like some great public gesture or nothing like that. We just want to see God alive. Amen? So I just pray we cover your prayers this evening. Obviously, we have Brother Brandon St. Cola this evening. And we're really looking forward to the Word of God. Did a wonderful job last time. And we want to give him some ample time. But yet, in the meantime, I just want to sing a song. It might be a little good for my soul, maybe a little bit good for yours. I'm going to sing that song, Farther Along. Amen.
Tempted and tried, we're lost, made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. And while there are others living about, never not there.
brother up to minister now. And pray you've come in expectation. You've come in a desire to hear the word of God this evening. Amen. And maybe turn a little corner. Let's just sing that song if we can. Come by here. Amen. We'll invite our brother up as we sing this. I don't know if I expect him to sing it all, but by the grace of God, we'll just sing that song a little bit here. Amen. It's your desire for God to come by here. Amen.
Come by here, my Lord. Come by here.
greet you in the name of the Lord tonight. On the behalf of our pastor, Brother Paul, and the church there at Literal Life, all working for the same cause, believing for the same thing, and that's a rapture. Amen.
Amen.
And rapturing faith. So if you would, open with me to 1 Peter and verse 5. You know, that song really means a lot to me, and just been singing it. And Brother Cam told me in the back, you know, when you feel the Spirit, then go ahead and come out. And that first song you sang, brother, I could feel that anointing come on me. So I just pray it'll bless you tonight here. So 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You can have your seats. May the Lord add His blessings to His Word. If I were to title this something here tonight, I just the thought that dropped in my heart, and I'm just trusting it's for somebody here, is He cares. And, you know, walking up when I got here, I forgot this picture was back here. And I thought, that's such the sweetest face that I ever known.
Amen.
Amen. That's the sweetest face you could ever lay eyes on. Brother Branham often talked about it, and he said, you know, that face, it looked like it could take the world, and I believe he says it could just destroy it in a minute. You know, it just had all that power behind it. And yet, he said it was sweeter than any mother's face. And, you know, it's just the sweetest voice that he's ever heard. And yet, it had power in it. So, and he cares, do you care? Just to lay a little bit of a foundation, just going to say just a couple things that I believe that the Lord gave me for you. So, Jesus said, "I'll not leave you comfortless, but will send back the Holy Spirit to continually care for His people." There's no one cares like Jesus. And when He said that, that just really grabbed my attention, because, you know, we care for one another. You know, you care for one another here tonight, and Brother Cam was telling me that brother, that man got hit and killed, and you know, there's something in your hearts that reaches out for him. Maybe he had a family. I don't know. Maybe you don't know, but it was a man that came to death, and sounds like a young man, and it was you know, he would say gone too soon, and there's something in your hearts that reaches out and that cares for that need, right? Now, not to bring you down or nothing, but just think about if that was a brother or a sister here tonight. You know, oftentimes we take for granted who we go to church with. We take for granted our families. We take for granted our friends. We don't, you know, we don't cherish those moments when we can come together like this and really just fellowship. You know, you can walk up and you can shake Brother Cam's hand. You know, you can walk up and shake one another's hand, but take that care and then multiply it as many times as your mind could even comprehend it, and then go far beyond that. And that's nobody cares like Jesus cares. Amen? And He talks about this comforter, and it's kind of a weird thing, I thought, you know, in the He cares, do you care? Kind of in the beginning, and He's talking about just that comfort. And there's a comfort, there's a spot for comfort in each of our hearts. And, you know, there's we seek all kinds of things looking for something to fulfill that comfort. That's why you have people, they don't realize it, but they turn to a bottle, they turn to cigarettes. You know, I've got an uncle that smokes, and he got into an accident, and they found a lump in his throat. But I can tell you, just by knowing him, that's not going to stop him from smoking. He's tried before, and he just can't do it. What is it, though? If you've ever been around somebody who smokes, they say that they start to get nervous and they got to have one. If they're stressed or there's some situation, boy, they've got to turn to that cigarette. What they don't realize is that there's only one cure for what they're feeling inside. There's only one cure that'll bring comfort to the soul. That's why you have people out in the world today that, you know, they go to the bars and things. There's probably, there might be a village bar somewhere through here, you know, and it's probably going to be even more full than the church is tonight. It's because people are looking for the same thing that we have, and that's for a comfort. Amen? So they're going to go in there, and they're going to search for the bottle. They're going to, you know, light up their smoke. You know, the women, they'll dress down. They'll dress themselves down.
Is it okay to be myself here and just speak? Okay, they'll dress like a harlot on the street, and then the guys will be caught up in it. They'll see her walk by, and they'll go ahead and stare at her as she walks down. And what is it? It's for a moment. It comforts him. It comforts her to get the attention. That's, you know, I might just jump ahead here, but you know, they're looking for that comfort. She's looking for that attention, and the man's looking for something to attract his eyes. Is that right? Every woman wants to be pretty, right? So sisters, I often say, I'm not a woman, so I can't say that from experience, but I can tell you from watching the sisters, they want to be pretty. You know, you watch a little girl, and she'll walk up, my little girl will walk up, and she'll say, Daddy, am I pretty? She wants that confirmation. She wants that reassurance that I think she's beautiful, right? And what's the bride of Jesus Christ want? She wants to know, Lord, do I have your attention? Can I walk in and can I catch your attention? Can I walk past you and you not be able to take your eyes off of me? Is that right? Does anyone else feel that way? Amen. I mean, look at the face up here, and it's going to be 100 times better than that. And you know what, Brother Branham, and my prayer has been, you know, Lord, I don't want to go to heaven just to escape hell. I don't want to go to heaven just because I'm tired of this world. But Brother Branham says, I just want to see the face of Jesus. My goodness. You know, and I just pray, you know, Lord, just make that desire more and more real. Because if we can get that in our hearts, and not just to escape hell, not just to be like everybody else, but you know that there's a comfort waiting for you on the other side, and that's to see the face of your Lord and Savior. Amen. The one that died for you, the one that saved you. Is that right?
Amen.
So, he says, the things that I do, shall you do also. And Brother Branham calls that a comfort. He calls that a comfort. Now think about that. The things that Jesus Christ did, you will do also. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Is that right? Take any deadly thing, and it shall not harden them. Is that right? It's those things. You know, we had a couple testimonies for you. There was a woman in our church, and she had surgery on her foot, and it afterwards, it had this bump and she couldn't walk on it. You know, it was just kind of this bulge on the side of her foot. She just couldn't walk on it. It hurt her. So she calls a brother and he prays for her. And she says, while he's praying over the phone, it's my grandfather. He lives in Texas. She's here, okay? Thousands of miles apart. Oh, this is good. Thousands of miles apart, okay? This is what separates us, all right? We're Gentiles, right? And there's Jews. Jesus turned from the Jews to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Did you notice the difference in the Scripture that the Jews had to have a sign? They had to have something that tangible that they could touch. They had to have that laying on of hands even to receive the Holy Ghost. So it's something to put their faith in. Is that right? But the Gentiles, all the centurion said was just speak the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen? The Gentiles, as they were preaching, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. They received the Holy Ghost as the preaching was going forth. So miles apart, on the other side, west coast, almost the west coast, right? Over to here. Over the phone, she receives her healing instantly. The pain in her foot went away, and I want to say that the lump did too. If it wasn't that moment, it was just a couple days after. Everything was gone, no signs of it. Amen? We had a sister in our church, and she had some kind of allergic reaction. Terrible story. Allergic reaction. She was down away from home at a camp, I believe it was. Had this allergic reaction. Come to find out, I guess what it was to peanuts. And, you know, she just almost to the point of death. Almost to the point. Just a real serious reaction. They had to shoot her. I think it was they shot her with those EpiPens, trying to bring her down. They shot her with so many, I think basically to put her in an overdose. So then they were shooting her with things to calm her down. It was supposed to kind of put her in a coma. They had her so, forgive me for lack of better terms, I don't know what better word to use, but so high on this other medicine that shooting her 10 times would not bring her down. She was just all in panic. They had to strap her down and everything. Completely terrible story. Lost her memory. She just went into an amnesia state, just couldn't remember anything. couldn't walk. She lost all function. Time goes on, and she almost loses basically the will to live just about. You know, I went over and talked to her one day. And, you know, you wonder sometimes people in that state. You know, we had a brother that passed away, and I remember asking him, he's on his deathbed, and I said, you know, maybe some of you know him, Brother Steve Johnson. And I said, Brother Steve, I said, can you see the other side yet? And he said, no, not yet. And I asked the sister, I said, sister, you don't remember me? No, you know, who are you? She kept asking, who are you, and who's this, and who's that, you know? And I said, do you remember Jesus? And she said, yes. She said, he's been with me. And she said, you know what? She said, I think I'm going home to see him. And I said, sister, I don't think yet. Doctors, I don't know if the doctors told her she never walked, but she was bound to a wheelchair for a little bit. It actually is pretty miraculous with everything she went through. It seemed like a shorter time, but bound to a wheelchair. And so we pray for her. Little by little, she was gaining her strength back. Her goal was to walk by Winter Youth Retreat that the church puts on. She wanted to walk into Winter Youth Retreat. That was her desire, her heart's desire. Okay, pay attention to that. Her heart's desire. She prayed. We had one Sunday, and Brother Paul, our pastor, he just went off into talking about faith. Just kind of seemed a little odd, but you know, just a short couple words on faith. Had some prayer for her after service. A couple of us laying hands on her. She got up, and I, to be completely honest, I was waiting for her to take off around the church, but she didn't do it. You know, so. You know, sometimes, just being honest, when God doesn't meet our let me be careful how I say this. Understand what I'm saying. When we feel like God doesn't meet our expectation, you know, the devil will come and he's right there to talk to you, try and discourage you a little bit. So I thought, you know, Lord, for the next week, I thought, Lord, is it something wrong with me? I laid hands on her. You said that these signs shall follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Where is it, Lord? Where is it? You did it through the prophet. Where is it through me? I want to say it was a week later. I was sitting in church. Might have been 2 weeks, but I only think it was a week later. I was sitting in church, and just where I was sitting was about where she would usually come in and sit. And I noticed the deacon putting a chair back in the row. And I thought, that's kind of strange, you know. Wouldn't they leave it open for her? And then I got a little bit excited. And I thought, well, maybe this is it. Sure enough, she come in. She was walking with a walker. But she came in and sat down in church. Amen. You know, a week later, she was walking, no walker, nothing. I mean, the Lord just moving like that. Amen. Amen. But you know, the prophet, all of that, just some testimonies for you. Oh, here's another one. I can't leave it out. I just give glory to God tonight. Is that all right? You know what? And I'll just let the Lord do with it what He will. This brother been coming to our church a couple years now. His son isn't saved. Okay, this is we're talking about a sinner here. All right, his son isn't saved. Dad is. Dad's greatest heart desire is for his boy's salvation. The boy got into some things that he shouldn't have. I don't know what happened, but the sister found him laying on the floor, unconscious. I believe he was starting to turn cold. They checked his blood sugar, and I can get this wrong, but I think his blood sugar or his insulin level was somewhere around like 2,000. That's not normal. Like a normal blood sugar, I think, is around just over 100 maybe. Just over 100. His blood sugar was at 2,000. His oxygen or I believe was maybe his oxygen was at like 50. And, you know, it's just he was going. He was basically gone. The church started praying for him, the father, and I believe he called the pastor, and they were praying for this boy all through the night. Slow recovery, but the boy, you know, the boy, his everything started coming back to him. Okay? Here's a man. And if I'm not mistaken, he flatlined at the hospital. He died. Okay? Prayer of the saints, you have a miracle. Okay? The woman who was healed instantly. You have another instance where the Lord lets it go on, maybe just maybe 3 weeks, but I only want to say it was 2 weeks. This boy has been a little bit longer of recovery, But he was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. These signs shall follow them that believe. And who's that giving glory to? The church? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's this man right here. Amen. Jesus Christ gets the glory. Amen. The boy, his kidneys and everything weren't functioning right, and slowly they've been recuperating. Slowly everything's been turning back on, and you know, now we're just, hey, if God can raise him from the dead, God can save his soul. Is that right?
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham said that this one young girl he went and prayed for, and she was healed. The pain went away. She gave her heart back to the Lord. She was a sinner. She backslid. She gives her heart to the Lord. And then she comes almost to the end of being at her hospital stay. They were going to do surgery. Actually, the surgery was to remove a dead baby. She had miscarried a child, and so they were going to take this you know, they were going to do surgery and take the baby and then send her home. And she was sitting laying there with her mom, and she said, "Mom, I'm ready to go home." And you know, the mom natural thing is to say is, "Well, honey, they're just going to do the surgery and then you'll be well and you can go home." And she said, "No, Mom, I'm ready to go home." And she died. She took a last breath there. Brother Branham demanded, he said, "Lord, you owe me an explanation for that."
Right.
Later he repented. He said, "God, you don't owe me nothing." Right?
Right?
But hey, boy, isn't that good though? Even a prophet of God can make a mistake.
Amen.
In his anger, he can say, "Lord, you owe me an explanation." Does that make you feel a little bit better?
Right?
Right. So the prophet's human and he can make a mistake. Right? Amen.
Good.
And so the Lord shows him and he says, "You know what? A couple months ago, I think it was, she had actually got tangled up or something, and she was close to death. Her husband found her, jumped in, had to warm her up and everything, untangle her and get her out of the cold water." The Lord told Brother Branham, he said, "That was her time to go right there."
Right.
But he spared her for this time further down the road, when her soul, when she could make that conscious decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ask Him into her heart. Amen? That's our God. That's our God. Why? Because He cares. Because He cares. Amen? Boy, I thought I was going to take, you know, whiz through this. But so He proved through Christ, He came and showed Himself and the same caring God in our prophet of Malachi 4. But don't leave it just at the prophet. That's for us. Amen? So He continues to do it today. I gave those testimonies to show you our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And why? He cares for you and I. Amen? So, I just want to try and... How long do we go? What time did I start? Okay, we'll go a little bit here. So, Luke 7:36. You know, I'll read these scriptures. Luke 7:36. This was something I heard the prophet speaking on yesterday, but it just, as he was talking, the Lord just kind of gave me a different vantage point to the story he was given. So, probably a familiar story, but verse 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" So you have this Pharisee inviting Jesus into his house. The sinner woman comes in and starts washing Jesus' feet, and the Pharisee condemns in his heart now, notice in his heart, doesn't say it out loud, condemns Jesus and the sinner for doing this.
Right.
Jesus speaks to him in a parable and says, you know, which one would love Jesus the most? the one who owes more or the one who owes less? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head and my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth all sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So we have this story here of this ill-famed woman, a harlot off the street. And I'll try not to read so much. I'll just try and hit a couple of things Brother Branham said, but I'll try and tell the story myself. Not much of a storyteller, but is this water for me back here? Is that okay? Thank you, brothers. So, Brother Branham teaches us, and we know this from the Scriptures, that this Pharisee invites Jesus over to have dinner with him. Well, if you know, for the Bible readers, the ones who know the Scripture, the Pharisees, that's very odd. The Pharisees hated Christ. They hated him. They despised him. They sought to lay hands on him many times until they crucified him. Is that right? They hated him. But you see, this Pharisee, I love it because the prophet gets in his head a little bit. The Scripture doesn't go into this much depth, but I personally, me, myself, I believe that while the prophet's speaking this, he's also seeing it. Because you can't go in, there's some good storytellers, but he goes into detail. And I'm sorry, I just believe that that's the prophet. I believe he can see that. Amen? So, he says, now there seems to be something wrong with our story this afternoon as we look at it. There just seems to be not the right kind of a sound that the voice speaks. How could these Pharisees love Jesus? They hated him. He goes on to say, you usually only invite somebody over for dinner that you have a connection with, that you love, that you can have fellowship with. Right. Somebody that you have things in common with. Well, the Pharisees did not, right? They hated him. Right. So what was the motive behind this man to do this? He says, now, if I could only do something that would cause the people to know that I'm great. Oh, why didn't I think of that? That's the very idea, this Pharisee says. Not only will I be great before the people of the city, but I'll be great among the other Pharisees, the pastors of the city. And know what I'll do? I'm going to send over an invite to the fellow called Jesus of Nazareth, that holy roller. And I'm going to get him down here and expose that guy, because Pharisee Levinsky just told me the other day that he knew he was no prophet. And we know he's not. And we know he's only deceiving the people. So I believe I'll just send him an invite to get him to come down. So you see, the motive of this man's heart is not to have fellowship with Christ. It's not to ask him of the Scriptures, of his understanding. There's no motive besides a selfish motive. Okay? And we understand the Pharisees. We understand the hypocrisy of their lives. They did it all to build up themselves. That was their motive behind everything. And unfortunately, sometimes we can get caught up in that too. Right? Amen. We get to feeling maybe a little down on ourselves, and we want things our way. Like that story, I'll put it back on me, that instance where we prayed for that young girl, and it didn't happen the way I thought it would. I really did. I believed she was going to take off around that church. And it didn't happen that way. God had a different plan in mind.
Amen.
But you see, God has a bigger picture in mind too. Mine might be for my own satisfaction, my own gratification. Lord, build my faith. This would really build my faith. But, it's oftentimes through trials that our faith is built, right? And a trial doesn't just come and go like the wind. A trial kind of stays and lingers a little bit, right? It just kind of comes and it puts that pressure on you and that heat. I got something good here in a little bit. It's all good, but... So, the account continues. This Pharisee sends the courier off, and the courier goes, finds Jesus, and then comes back real happy because Jesus accepted his invitation. And then we're at the day of this gathering, of this party. And Brother Branham teaches that, you know, back over in the region there, back in those times, they walked everywhere they had to go. And, you know, as they walked, their garments went. There was kind of an undergarment a little bit, and I think it went to just above the knee maybe, or just below it. And then they had a Palestinian robe, Brother Branham calls it, around them. And they walked everywhere. And, you know, they didn't have the luxury of paved roads and things, so it was dirt. And so the heat of the day, think about that, the heat of the day, how spoiled are we? The heat of the day, and you know, you start perspiring as you're walking. And that dust kind of comes up and starts collecting on your legs and things. Well, also back then, they used animals to get around and haul things and that. So, you know, an animal doesn't say, you know, stop you and, hey, I got to use the restroom. You know, they go. And so that gets mixed in with the dust and things, and that gets on their legs. And then, unfortunately, these men and these women, after walking around, they begin to stink. Right? And you know, we could go all over with that, if I guess, if we wanted. You know, we got to be washed by the water of the Word. Why? Because we get to walking in this world, and that filth and that, you know, the crud from this world starts to kind of stick to us a little bit. You know, you don't have to partake in it. You just got to rub shoulders with it. You got to walk from point A to point B. You know, on this spiritual journey, sometimes we get dirty, right? Sometimes we fall and make a mistake. But aren't you glad that Jesus will come and wash your feet? Amen? Take that stink away and take that dust off. So, I'm just going to try and pick myself up here because he explains this really well. Let me find it here. So, the custom in Palestine is when a guest comes in, there's a servant there to wash their feet. And they're given oil for their face and their neck. A clean pair of cloth sandals to wear in the house. And when they go in, they're greeted with, the host gives them a kiss on the neck. Okay? They're greeted with a kiss. The Palestinian, you know, the both sides. Some people do it still over, you know, overseas. The French and I think, the Italians. I'm Italian and the Italians do it. Not me. But, so this was all to make a guest feel welcome. And so he wasn't embarrassed in the host's home. But notice what they do to Jesus. You know, Brother Branham doesn't say this. He says, I don't know how Jesus got in there. I don't know how he got past the servant. But, you know, I wonder with the intentions behind that Pharisee. I wonder if that wasn't just, you know, telling the servant, you know, when you see the man that you called, just let him pass on by. You know, we don't want him to feel real welcome. You know, because then he might preach. Don't let him feel real welcome. He might say something. So, Jesus is unwashed, unanointed, and unkissed. That's the welcome. That's the greeting. This was all to make the guest welcome. Let's see. So, let me find it here. Sorry. Okay, so the kiss, it showed fellowship. It showed you were a brother at that point. You could go into the fridge, Brother Branham says, and you could help yourself. You could help yourself to anything in the house. That was that kiss upon greeting. It was the welcome. It's the handshake at the door. Okay? The prophet of God said, you know, nowadays they used to do it with a holy kiss. Now we do it with handshakes. Right? Don't go kissing each other. But there was Jesus sitting in the corner of the room with unwashed, stinky feet, dust and sweat on his legs and his neck. Unwelcome and unloved, tired and parched from a day of preaching, the sun beating down upon him, upon his face and his neck. Parched, unwashed, unwelcome. People would start to gather to the outside of the party and look in and enjoy wishing that they could be in there, admiring and drooling over the spread of food. You know, they cook, and Brother Branham says, boy, can they cook? And that aroma starts filling the air, and people start coming around to see what's going on. And, the Pharisee knew this. He knew that people would come and watch. He knew that it would build them up. You know, oh, look at this guy. Boy, what a party, you know. Everyone press in and, you know, just that segregation. You know, it's just some interesting facts for you because this is something that I was given here lately. But there's chemicals in the brain, okay? And certain things produce those chemicals naturally. And it gives you, it comes and it affects your pleasure center. All right? So somebody gives you a compliment. That releases some of these chemicals. I can't remember them. There's four different ones that are real particular. But somebody pays you a compliment. And it releases those chemicals. And boy, you start to feel good. Well, on a natural, just every day, that feel-good feeling will last, I think it is, just a compliment like that will raise that level up 10%. And it kind of comes and it goes. Maybe, I think, 10 minutes. You know that people can take a drug, the devil tapped into that knowledge, the way God made you, and people can take a drug and it can take that 10% from 100% from some natural things in life, and that drug can take it up to 1,200%. And it can last 8 to 10 hours before you come off of that high. And so you imagine what this Pharisee was feeling at a party where the congregation is there, they're waiting, they're all drooling, talking about how wonderful his home is and things. Brother Branham said he had the floors repolished. You can imagine how the feeling that this man had. Boy, he felt good. But there was a problem, and that was Jesus sitting in the corner with unwashed feet. And the prophet of God says we invite him. We invite him to church and things. We invite him to come with us through the day. And then we get busy or we get to worrying about something or just whatever it was. You invite him, but you don't entertain him through the day. You don't wash his feet. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be in the Word all day long. It doesn't mean you have to be on your knees all day long. We wouldn't be able to work. We wouldn't be able to do these things. You know, the Scripture says pray without ceasing. You know, you can't. You won't make it. I'll tell you this right now. You will not make it in this life spiritually if you do not stay in this Word. It just won't work. This is your strength. This is your lifeline. Amen? This is the water by which the Lord Jesus washes you. Takes away that stink. Takes away that filth. Right? Through the washing of the water of the Word. So, let me find it here. Brother Branham said, God deserves the first place. Jesus ought to have the first place in every life, but we give him about the fourth place. He deserves the first place. Well, you say, I pray once a day. That's all right. He receives it. If you want to give him fourth place, that's all right. He will take it. You only went to church once a year, maybe, and wore that new hat and everything, and he never condemned you for it. That's what makes him God to me. If you want to give him fourth place or fifth place, he'll take it. He'll take whatever you give him, right? If you can only give 10 minutes in the morning, he'll take it. If you can, you know, but where I was going before, sorry, the thought just come back to me is, you know, we can meditate on the things of the Word. You know, you might only have a couple minutes to read the Word in the morning. But you can take that and, you know, be in prayer about it, because you can pray and the Lord can keep that on your mind daily, you know. There's certain things at work that's going to demand your attention, but before you know it, that thought will come back to you. That word will come back to you. And you know, it's just that, what you know what it is? It's Jesus walking along the road with you. He's getting dusty too, amen? He's walking right with you. Just and then at the end of the day, he says, you know what, brother, sister, my beloved, let's sit down and wash one another's feet for a little while. You know, how much time do you give the Lord? You know, there's nothing like those times when you can get away and set apart. There's nothing like it. Just you and the Lord shut in. But you know what I'm finding out? When you start having kids, that time gets a whole lot harder. All right? Amen? It just gets hard. It just gets hard. But you know, you find those things that to commune with the Lord throughout the day. And He'll show you. He cares. He'll show you if you ask Him. If you don't feel like you're there, ask him. He'll show you. I promise you he will. Amen.
Amen.
So Brother Branham said he just wants to be loved and he wasn't. Imagine, think of times you felt on the outside of what was going on. Something going on and you're pushed to the outside. Then think about your Lord giving himself freely to whomsoever will and then being turned down to his face. Think about that. You know, in the Lord Jesus, he was a man. He was a man. He was a God-man, right? The prophet called him a God-man, but he was a man. So he had emotion. He had feelings. He felt outcast. He felt outcast. We're going to get some things to in a minute that I think would make it better for him, though. Now listen to how the prophet describes this harlot. Poor little kid. No one loved her. No one cared for her. Society had turned her out, and nobody wanted her. So she had to live, and she'd done the best she could do, maybe. She was bad. But notice the grace in there. To me, that's the mind of Christ. You know, we'll just say somebody comes off the street walking down, and you know, they hear our voices in here tonight, and they come off the street. You know, maybe socially outcast. Maybe it's somebody walking down from that bar we were talking about earlier. And that just didn't fulfill them, right? So they walk on by, and it catches their attention, and so they come in. Poor little kid, poor man, poor woman. Maybe they don't know better. Maybe this would be the first time that they hear the gospel. Maybe this would be the first time that they ever stepped foot into a church. Maybe it's the first time they would see sisters with long hair and long dresses on. Men dressed up looking like men, right? Amen. But it's a soul Christ died for. Boy, if we can look at it like that, friends, we'd live a whole lot different, right? We'd look at people a lot different. We forget so often that we were a soul Christ died for too. She smells the food. Oh, her little hungry stomach. She said, wonder what's going on. She goes up to join the crowd. Oh my, it smells so good. I remember when I was a little bitty child, my mother used to cook food like that. But oh, it's been so long since I've eaten like that, and now nobody loves me. I'm just an outcast. I've took the wrong road. Oh, I remember Mother used to tell me not to do this, but Mother died and Daddy died, and I had no one to look after me. I got some girls, that was bad. Here I am. Influence. But notice, and to me, I'm sorry, but I believe the prophet's in her head right there. I believe he's in her head. You know, I forget, there's another harlot, might have been Rahab, I think. Didn't the prophet say that her parents turned her out to do that? You know, you never know somebody's situation. You never know their background, so be slow to judge, right? So this woman, she comes over and she's smelling that aroma and she's up on her tiptoes trying to see what's going on. People backing away from her, you know. Oh my goodness, here she is. What's she doing here? You know, hope these Pharisees see her and condemn her. But she looks over and she's looking around, scoping out the area, and she sees Jesus over in the corner. And she thought, man, that man, he just looks familiar. It seems like I know him. She says, oh, that's that prophet. And then she looks and she notices, what are they doing? He's got unwashed feet. She notices he just doesn't look refreshed. He's still got the dirt on his feet. She notices he's out in the outcast of the room. You know, the Pharisees are all there having a good time, tipping their cups and stuff and toasting and that. But there's Jesus in the back. And he's just sitting there. He's just sitting there. And she looks. The tears begin to run down her cheeks. She wipes her eyes. She looks again. She said, that's him. And look, his feet's dirty. Look at his parched lips and the dirt on his hair and his neck. Oh, they haven't made him lovable. They haven't loved him. They haven't made him feel welcome. How true that is today. They haven't made him lovable. Oh, all at once, something strikes her. Down the street she goes. She runs down the street and up the alley. She gets to little crickety steps and up she goes, unlocks the door and goes in. It's her apartment. She runs over and she's, you know, the mind battle starts. The devil knows what she's doing, right? The devil knows what you're doing. I don't know how, but he knows. He must pick up on it or something. He's a good adversary, right? But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen? So this young girl, she runs and she gets her money. She takes it down. She says, oh, but I can't. If I would go before him, he'd know what kind of woman I was. Notice the Pharisees saying he's not a prophet. And notice the ill-famed woman saying he'd know what kind of woman I was. How would he know? He's a prophet. She believes it. He'd know what kind of woman I was. And I couldn't take this money that I've earned this way. He would know how I got this money. It's not good money in that way. He would know it. Because I believe that he is the Messiah. Oh, I know they don't treat him right. I know they cast him to one side and he's sets unlovable, unloved. But I couldn't take this money and do that. He's dirty, but he's dirty. He's got dirty feet. But this is all I got. And Brother Branham says, that's all God requires. All you got is all God requires. You know, we get discouraged on ourselves sometimes. You know, maybe because we're not the preacher. Maybe because You know, maybe because I'm not a very good preacher. You know, we get down. Maybe it's, you know, you want, you know, just, you feel like nobody. But as long as you're giving all you got, that's all Jesus requires. Amen? Amen. You say, she says, I can't come in the life that I live now. Oh, and he says, oh, yes, you can. You say, I've drank, I've stole, I've done this, I've lied. I don't care how you are. He wants you just the way you are. That's all you have to do. Yes. And he looks. And she says, now, wait a minute. Now, what will they do? She starts thinking about everybody else. What if he will condemn me? Wonder what will happen. But something on the inside of her just keeps encouraging her. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Certainly it's the right thing to do. So she goes and she buys a bottle of ointment to go in and anoint Jesus, right? Are you all with me still? Amen. Amen? Time's clipping along. So she goes in and she buys some ointment to go and anoint Jesus. Brother Branham said she doesn't just go in and buy a little dime bottle. It's she asked the merchant for the best he had. She gave him her best. Amen? She doesn't go in and say, you know, well, Lord, you know, I got this money, but, you know, I still got to live off of it. And, you know, what will they think if I buy the best? Maybe I'll just buy a little bit. No, no. She says, I want the best you got. Amen. Now, listen to this. This is a whole sermon in itself, but I thought this was good as I was studying. So he says, oh, we who give one little prayer a day, 10 cents. Oh, goodness, this is a rare and special occasion when we meet Jesus. He just does not want to be a member of the church. He wants the best you got. Now, understand when the prophet says just a little prayer a day, that's not to condemn you. Amen? But there's, you know, there's the people who, you know, just wear the hat on Easter and come into church and it's just once, you know, once a year. Come back on Christmas and it's twice a year. You know, God wants it all. Amen? And we should want to give Him our all. Why? Because He gave us His all. He paid the ultimate price. He gave His life. Amen? Think about God. The only begotten of the Father. And yet He sacrificed. But did you know? And I'm jumping ahead, but I'm just going to go with it. Jesus Christ had a choice in the matter. Did you know that? He had a choice in the matter. I don't know if you've ever caught it, but when the devil came and tempted Christ in the wilderness, what did he offer him? He offered him the kingdoms of this world. He offered him the title deed to this world back. Right there. Just fall down and worship me. That's all you got to do, Jesus, and I'll give it to you. You know what? I believe that Christ knew what was coming down the road, but He also knew that if he accepted the devil's proposition right then, that He would have recovered the earth, sure, but who would have been still lost? Amen. Us. Amen. So Jesus was given a choice. You can have it all back, but Jesus knew that this wasn't all of it. He knew that, you know what, this world, sure, this world's part of it, right? This world is part of it, but it's not all of it. You're everything to Jesus Christ. And that is why, that's why He made His decision. Think about that. A decision. We make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. You make, and He made a decision to come after us. He made a decision. You know, when a man comes, and I think I might even mention this. I don't know why, how I get on this every time, but, you know, a man sees a woman and, you know, she's a Christian character, godly character, and he says, you know, I think I'd like to get to know her. So they start the courtship process and things. You know, he goes after her. He goes, none of this wishy-washy stuff that the world does today. You know, you give her a piece of yourself here and there, and then you withhold some to keep it work and all this stuff. None of that. None of that. You give it all to her. Right, brothers? Amen? Amen. Then he... So, that's what Jesus Christ did, though. He saw us, and He gave everything. He gave everything to you. Amen? Knowing what He must suffer. Think about that. He cares for you. Okay? He cares for you. This was the highlight of what I was wanting to say tonight, but we're going there because He took us here. Right? Jesus Christ made a full-fledged conscious decision to give His life for you and I. Amen? What more? What could we give Him in return? If you're a true bride, amen? If you're a true bride, you're going to want to give something back. And you're not going to want to just, you know, well, thanks for giving me your all, honey, but, you know, here's what I got. You know, You want to give your all back. It's a hundred, no 50-50, none of that stuff. No wait and see what he does or she does. It's all in, right? So Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and I. He gave it all. He paid the ultimate price. You know, we give our lives for you know, our spouse, or we should. You know, and that's another thing Brother Branham said, you know, you draw comfort from. Now understand here when I say this that, you know, it's not, he says, you know, there's nothing like a man coming in at the end of the day, the stress of the day, and his wife will come up and just touch him. You know, now that's not, understand, for the older ones, that's not no intent behind that. That's just a touch saying, I love you.
Amen.
Oh my. Think about the Holy Spirit coming, that presence of God coming down.
Amen.
And you know what he does? He just reaches over and he says, it's all right, honey. I'm here. I'll be with you. Right? It's all right, little bride. Don't worry. Don't fear. Amen? I'm here. I'm here. I'll comfort you. I'll comfort you. Amen? And he sent that comforter. That's what the prophet was saying in the beginning. You know, the bottles and things. He sends that comforter back because he knew that you and I would need it. Amen? And that is the Holy Ghost. Right? If you still don't feel that comfort, then get the Holy Ghost. Amen? So she gives the best that she's got. What was it? It was an alabaster box with ointment in it. This is just a full sermon in itself. Alabaster is the best material to keep ointments in. The stone has a rare quality, listen to this, has a rare quality among other rocks to being translucent, which means the permitting the passage of light through it, free from disguise and falseness. It's alabaster. A much appreciated resource for sculptors and architects who from antiquity until these days have been able to take advantage of its characteristic features. Above all ease with which it can be worked and polished, its translucency. So listen to that. It's got ease, the makeup, its chemical makeup. It's got ease to be worked. It's got ease to be molded and sculpted. It's translucent. It gives off, you can put light through it. A property as rare among his rocks is effective in magnifying their natural beauty. It's known as a luxury material. If you haven't caught it yet, I'm talking about you.
Amen.
When temperature or humidity is increased, the composition of the substance can be altered. Indeed, the ease with which calcium sulfate becomes hydrated or dehydrated due to pressure, temperature, and humidity conditions is decisive, which means it's causing something to end in a particular way. Right? So those tests and trials, that heat and that pressure comes. What's the purpose? Because Jesus Christ has a cause, something to end in a particular way. Determining what the result of something will be, having the power or quality of deciding. You have a decision. You know those chemicals that I was talking about? Those come into the forefront of your brain. I'm really not the smartest. It's just stuff that I've caught. It's called your frontal lobe, but it comes up there and you start having good feelings and bad feelings, right? That's where your decisions are made. So you decide to either go the route of the good or the route of the bad. If you're made up of this material, you have that ability to make the decision for the good. Amen? And then that light can be transparent. You can be transparent for that light. It shines through you.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Rapid dehydration causes salt crystals to link to each other, the body of Christ, providing a consistent framework, the formation of alabaster. It's a salt. It's a salt. Those salt crystals. Jesus said, be salty. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Because of its makeup, alabaster can easily be changed by its environment, which can also limit to how it's used depending on its environment. Too much heat or too much humidity. You know, right now, sometimes you wonder, why can't I feel the presence of the Lord more? You know, or, boy, when is this trial going to end? It's just too much, Lord. God knows what He's doing. He knows just how much of each to give you. Just enough to where you'll just let that light come through. But yet, we're still human, right? We're still on this earth. Amen? So the lines that form in it, there's lines. If you look at it, I was looking at the boxes, and there's lines. It almost looks like marble almost, but it's just some lines through it. And it says the lines are from a result of impurities. But if you ever look at them, they add to the beauty of the finished product. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. So, and then this is the best part. Are you with me? Is this all right? Is this exciting to you? If I understand the process of the formation of alabaster correctly, this is me talking, if I'm understanding this correctly, if pressure and temperature decrease in the presence of water, the alabaster turns back to its original form of gypsum. So if you take that alabaster, and it can almost like in its natural element, okay, before they extract it, you can take it and it goes from this particular rock of gypsum and it forms alabaster, depending on temperature and humidity and everything. All these things are involved, okay? If you start to decrease the temperature, increase the presence of water, and take away the pressure, it goes back to its original form. Amen? Are you catching what I'm laying down? We can live in a place where eventually here, real soon, I'm telling you, it's real soon, that pressure is going to start lifting. The pressure, there's a squeeze, right? Amen? We know that. But you know what? I believe that even through the squeeze, the bride can have a consistency. And there, that pressure, it'll start lifting off. That temperature, that heat starts going away. And she's starting to move into more connection with her heavenly bridegroom. They're starting to become one now. In the presence of that water, that washing of the water by the Word, that anointing we feel, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, that Holy Ghost that comes down on us, that we feel that presence, that increases, and then we go back to the original. Amen? Is that good? You catch it now? Amen. Okay, so we got to hurry and bring it down here. We're almost done. So she gets her money. She sticks it under here. She goes, gets her alabaster box. She puts it under her coat, her little shawl, and she walks up the street. As she goes up, listen now, the devil kept talking to her. Now you're going to really be embarrassed, sure enough. That Pharisee will put you in jail for doing that. They'll throw you out of the house if you shout. You'll be excommunicated. What do you care about excommunication? Get to Jesus is the main thing. Amen? Brother, that's what I like about it. I don't care what the outside world says. Let's get to Jesus is the main thing. She moves through the crowd as she pushes right on through, right to left. She runs right in by the side of Jesus. And she's standing right by him. The devil begins to say, now he's going to rebuke you. But not one word. Jesus doesn't say one word. But the devil's there the whole time. You can't pray. You remember what you did last week? You can't pray. What are you thinking? You can't do that. You can't go before the Lord. You can't lay hands on the sick and then recover. What are you thinking? Anyone else have those thoughts? That's not from my Lord. Amen. That's not from Him. So they laid... let me see here. So they laid down and was eating. And she run right to the end of the couch. Now, She's in the presence of Jesus. She's right there next to him. All of her sins comes before her. Brother, you can never look at his face and not feel guilty. She sees all her sins, her ill living, her ill fame. There they all are right before her, and she starts crying. So notice the picture now. There's Jesus in the corner, still feet unwashed, and she starts crying. She gets to crying so much. Her sins are so heavy on her. You ever been there? She just feels that conviction in her heart. She feels that, boy, oh boy. She feels that pool of Jesus sitting on the couch. Doesn't say a word to her, but there's a pool. There's a connection there. There's a drawing. There's a deep that's calling to the deep. And she just can't help. She can't help the water. And Brother Branham says that's the most precious water that could ever wash Jesus' feet is the tears. How many times have our tears washed his feet and how he loves it? Never said nothing to her. Never condemned her. Nothing. She didn't care about the party or who was in the room or anything going on around her. Only that she could get to Jesus. Amen. So many times, and this is just me being transparent too. So many times we care more about who's in the room, who's in the sanctuary around us, than we do about answering back to Jesus. He's pulling on our hearts and we think, boy, I can't. So-and-so will see me. You know, that's too close up to the front. You know, I got to walk from the back to the front. Everyone's going to see me. What are they going to think? I'll be honest. I have those thoughts. I have them. He pulls on our hearts to stand to worship or to go up front or pray or kneel at the altar and talk with Him a while. But we start thinking who will see, what others will think. Who cares? Like the prophet said, who cares? We came to church to worship Jesus. We came to receive healing or whatever you may need. Healing of the soul, healing of the inside. Amen? And all the time, he says she's kissing His feet. Kissing His feet. Because she's repenting. The tears are flowing down. And all at once, her hair... you can't be this descriptive without seeing it. She had done her hair up on the top of her head. The curls all fell down around her. And she stops and takes this alabaster box. And Brother Branham says there was somehow this box was sealed. And Brother Branham says she didn't break. And she breaks it again. And she just pours the whole thing. Not... I've spent all this time and money. Just give a little bit now. I spent all the time and money. I spent all the time getting myself ready for church. But I'm just going to pour a little bit on Him now. No, no. She took the entire alabaster box and poured the whole thing over Christ. Amen. The best anointing that he could have asked for. And you know what? Here's the best part. Jesus comes to this meeting knowing what's in the hearts of the Pharisees. He's a prophet. I don't believe that would have been hid from Him. He's Christ. He's the prophet of prophets. Amen? He knows the thoughts and intents of every heart that's in the room. He knows that these men, you know, they're probably down in their wine. Why? Because there's something in them still that they know it's wrong. But they got to get a little drunk. Because they're going to make fun of Christ. They're going to expose Him. Bless God, we're going to expose this man. We're going to expose this prophet and say he's false. Sound familiar? But Christ knew that the whole time. And yet He comes to this party. Think about it. Christ knew it the whole time. He knew what pain and suffering He would go through on the cross. And yet He went anyway. He knew. He was still human. He was still man. No doubt. I mean, maybe not. But to me, no doubt. That hurt Him a little bit. You know, to be. But then God reveals it. Why are you here, my son? Why are you here? And He sees this woman of ill fame. He was there for one person. For one person. And He let her wash His feet. Think about that. Think about washing the Master's feet. I believe that when we get there and we lay our crowns down before Him, I'm going to kiss His feet.
Amen.
Amen. And you all just wait your turn because I'll be a little while. Amen. She was. Think about that. The dirt and the crud on His legs and things, the sweat, and her tears washed His feet. Those are some tears. She was crying. She was there for a little while. And then think about it. Sisters, the consistency of your hair, or I'm not sure if that's the right word, but, you know, your hair, you know, it doesn't dry things very easily, right? So she had to be there a little while. She's taking her time with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
She's taking her time with Jesus. So, and he says her hair fell down the curls and she's kissing His feet. He speaks to the Pharisee and then turns to her. She wonders if she will be condemned. What will he have to say? Then he turns and looked at the woman and he said, "And verily I say unto you, your sins, which are many, are all taken away." Amen. That's the first time Jesus spoke to her. Your sins are all taken away.
Hallelujah.
Which are many. She was afraid Jesus would stop and condemn her. She knew by revelation who He was, but she would risk it anyway. She would risk those Pharisees taking hold on her. Remember, it reminds me of another story where the Pharisees take this woman, and if you read the Scripture, she was actually taken, I believe, from the act and thrown at the feet of Christ. Thrown at the feet of Christ. There. Could you imagine? Well, we've been there before, but imagine. This young woman thrown on the ground at the feet of Jesus. And they ask her, you know, they point to the law of Moses. You know, they're wanting to stone her and they're wanting to catch Jesus because they're going to stone him too. Right? But you know what? Just like Jesus doesn't say anything to them till the end. He just bends down and he starts writing. And he starts writing. And I've heard it said that he's writing the sins. Doesn't have to say who. Just writing in the sand. And he knows who it is. Just slowly writing. And I wish I had it, but he's down and he bends down and he's writing. And as he writes, these men, their stones start dropping. Jesus never looks up, never changes, just continues writing. You can almost see it. He's writing. One walks away, wipes the sand, starts writing. Another one walks away, wipes the sand, starts writing. Sooner or later, he stands up, and it's just him and this harlot. And I imagine she'd feel the same way. Can't even hardly look at him, you know. Maybe she's watching what's going on in awe, and she's thinking, what, you know, he's going to get everyone and he's going to stone me. You know, I don't know what she was thinking, but you know, I mean, you could imagine being in the presence of God, you're everything just comes to the forefront. Amen. That's why we need our washing. Stands up and there he is with just this harlot. And he asks her, first time he speaks to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looks around and, I mean, what do you say? What do you say? I have, they're not here. I have none. And he says, "Well, then neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Amen. Washes the slate. You know what he did? He could have wrote it in the sand. He didn't. He didn't write it. He didn't have to remind her. It was on her heart. Those men, they were righteous. You know, self-righteous. You know, all puffed up. He didn't have to. Her sins were written on her heart at that moment. But you know what Jesus did? I could imagine he'd just take the sand one last time. Wipe it away. And her sins are gone. Amen.
Amen.
But think about that. And that's not just some, you know, happening where Jesus just happened to be walking at that time and those Pharisees just happened to throw. Jesus puts himself. God, he does things with purpose. Amen. You know, we might not know where we're going from day to day, but Christ, he did things, he does everything today with purpose. He put himself there so that he could have that situation. And because there was a soul that needed him. One soul that needed him. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll just bring this down to a close here. You know, there's another instance where Jesus crosses over a stormy sea to go to, see if I can pronounce it again. Going over to Gadara, I believe is how it's pronounced. Going over to Gadara. And you know, I read a commentary that said he could have walked. It was just as easy to go by land. But Christ had purposes behind going across the sea on a boat, going across the water. Why? Because he knew that there was a storm going to be there. You know, nothing surprises God, right? So he knew that the storm would be there. So he takes his disciples in a boat and he starts going across. And he sleeps. He sleeps on this boat. He sleeps during the storm. It's the man part, friends. He's tired. He's preaching and he's you know, the prophet said that, you know, those visions, they drain you. That healing, that pull from the people, that drains you. You know, Brother Cam, when you get done preaching, you know, you're tired. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes it may take a little while to hit you, but you know, you'll get tired.
Amen.
It's that pull, it's that anointing, you know, and then we gotta go from here to back out into the world, you know. If you could just live in that anointing all the time. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, I believe it. I believe we can. I believe it's coming. Amen?
Amen?
God told the prophet when he spoke those squirrels into existence that if a man could live under the anointing, that even his tongue would come under the control of the Holy Spirit. And then the things he spoke would be just as God himself speaking. Is that right?
Amen?
Amen? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're all in one accord. Good things happen when that happens. So he goes over to this across the sea. The disciples have no idea where they're going, but all the while Jesus does. And this commentator said, you know, Jesus, he went and he slept. Not, I forget exactly how he worded it, but basically Jesus had the intent of being woken up. and then he calms the storm. Right? So they arrive, and this is what the prophet said. Just think, cross the stormy lake, over across there to find one soul in need. That was his love for one needy soul. He will come from glory tonight to the school auditorium, to this church, for one needy soul that will believe him. Amen? You know, Jesus, he chose to go to the cross. He went to the cross, and enduring the cross, knowing what was coming. Think about what he had to leave, though. Think about it. What did he leave? What did he leave to come and sit in a corner? What did he leave to be made fun of, to be mocked? He left the glory of heaven. Angels all around. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the time. All the time. Worshipped all the time. But he came. Why? For you and me. Because the angels... I don't want to say they don't mean nothing to him, but compared to us, I mean, you know, there's a song that says his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. You know, that holy, holy, holy from the angels doesn't compare to when you lift your voices to the Lord. Amen? Well, if the musicians want to come, we'll just try and bring it down to a close. I got a couple more things I feel the Lord gave me for you, so I just want to read them to you. You can stand if you'd like. You know, the prophet tells a story in that he cares, do you care? And he's being led of the Spirit, doesn't know why he's turning the way he's going and things. And he ends up coming across a couple young ministers. One of them, it might have been both of them that he just married. And he comes upon them, and... One of the young ministers is sitting there, and he's crying. He's, you know, they were on their way to their honeymoon. That's what it was. They were on their way to their honeymoon, I believe. And Brother Branham just driving and starts turning down ways. He doesn't know where he's going. He just knows he's being led. And he comes and he finds this young man, and he stays there and talks with him. And the prophet said, somehow, he doesn't say what it is, but this young minister developed a complex. The devil got in there. But he said God cared for the man, God cared for the young boy, to bring a prophet on the way to his meeting, I think, took him off course to find this young man, to care for him, just to lay his hand on him and say, it's okay, you know, deal with that complex. The man, you know, is dealt with, gets up rejoicing and goes on his way. Tells of a sister. She was nervous condition. And she thought she had crossed that line. She'd gone too far. Thought there was no Holy Spirit left for her. But he says, God cared for her who no one else cared for. And took that situation, took it away, took that nervousness away. Gave her confidence that she had the Holy Ghost. Gave her that faith. Amen? So, those who are sick and need healing, God knows. One day after healing someone, I couldn't find the scripture to read it to you, but one day after healing someone, it said Jesus leaned up against the rock with a headache. I was thinking about how many people I've heard lately have migraines. They got a migraine meter in Toledo. You know, it tells you how the likelihood of you having a migraine, I guess. But, you know, a lot of people... I've got friends that it almost paralyzes you. You can't do nothing. Those headaches are bad. Jesus, think about that though. Jesus had a headache. So he would know what it was like to have a headache. He says, I am the Lord that heals all thy diseases. Those who don't feel loved, Jesus wasn't loved either. He knows. The woman of ill fame came by not feeling loved and saw Jesus in the corner with dirty feet and parched lips, ungreeted and unloved. Jesus knows what that feels like. Those who don't have a mother or father, Jesus knows. One day while hanging on a cross, he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken there means left behind. To depart from, to leave to oneself, abandon, to to leave alone, to disregard, to left wanting. But there's a root word, going a little bit deeper. There's a root word behind that word. And it means shortly, quickly, purpose, for intent, because by reason. You may feel alone or like you cannot find God. Anyone been there before? But it's only for a season and it's for a purpose. And sometimes I think God will do that just to see what our reaction is.
Amen.
Just a couple more things. And if you all want to play something soft, we'll just close here in a minute. Those who have lost a friend, either by death, physically or spiritually, He knows. His friend Lazarus died and Jesus wept. His friend Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And Peter denied him 3 times. Those who have lost a child, whether born or through miscarriage, Jesus knows. You know, I've kind of struggled with saying it all day, but I just, this kind of really, I heard the prophet say something about that. And it really grabbed my heart for tonight. So, that's for somebody or not, but Jesus knows. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. He died for those who had the potential to be His children, and they rejected Him. You say that's reaching deep. He was tempted in all points, such as we were, such as we are. He had to receive compassion somehow for the widow woman who lost her son in Luke chapter 7. Her only son, she was a widow. Jesus, the prophet said, this is what it was. Jesus said, the prophet said Jesus was walking, tired from the day, but He heard this commotion over here, and He stopped. And He stopped, and He went back. And he laid hands on this young boy and raised him off the cot. And Jesus led him to his mother. Here you are, sister. Cry no more. Amen. Jesus cares. Takes time out to visit you, comes every service. He heals you, He speaks to you, tells you what you are and what you've done, what you need to do, just as He did in days gone by. Always willing to forgive and always willing to love. Thank God. Softly here. If you just bow your hearts with me. Jesus cares. Jesus cares for you. He went all the way. He made that decision to go to the cross when He knew what it would bear, when He would bear the pain. You know, the prophet says that Jesus is painted on the cross with a garment over Him. That's not how it was. He was stripped naked to be embarrassed, to humiliate Him. And He knew that was coming. He knew it was coming, and He went anyway. So just think tonight in your heart, if you have a need, not something I'm trying to work up here, it's just Jesus caring. If you have a need, lift it before the Lord. Whatever it is, keep it on your heart. Keep it close to your heart because Jesus cares. And He knows what it is. So just as I pray, you lift it to Him as well. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord. Father, that beautiful face behind me, God, those beautiful eyes. I heard the prophet the other day say that he can just imagine that the blue of the sky, Father, you're so great, God, that the blue of the sky is just Your eye, Father, just one of Your eyes. Lord, we've even seen it out in the stars, God, out in the galaxies, Father, when they seem to form an eye that looks like it's watching down upon us. Lord, scientists have taken pictures of hands that looks like a hand, almost sweeping up some stars to throw them back out. I had the scriptures down that how not a sparrow falls, Father, without You knowing. how much more do you care for us than you do for a sparrow? Don't give thought for tomorrow will take care of itself. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind. Father, let it be so tonight, God. If anyone's downhearted, Father, they just feel low, God. If they feel, Lord, like they can't feel you, Father, if they feel through a dry spell, let your Holy Spirit come now, Father, and just move through the aisles, Father. Move through the pews, Father. Let your people feel you come by and just touch them and say, it's okay, my child. Think of that song, Lord, hold on, my child, for joy comes in the morning. Bless each one, Father. Let them know you care. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to give our all, Lord. There's somewhere, God, we can give more of ourselves, Father. Help us to see it. Help us to know, Father. Lord, if anyone here doesn't know you tonight, God, let them know you care. And if they haven't received that comforter, you said, Lord, through Peter, you gave him the keys, and he said to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Give it to your people now, Lord. Freely, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name.
blessed us with a nice little spirit in church this evening. The great God coming and visiting us. And I pray this evening that you've heard the gist of this message. I hope when you heard our brother preach, there's nothing I love more than seeing someone that loves God. Amen. And someone that loves God and makes you love God. That's a wonderful thing. Just little thoughts that were going through my head. We look at Brother Branham, even when God gave him squirrels by the spoken word, it always just blew me away is that God told him, you had need of those squirrels. There was a God that cared enough to give the prophet that. Although he didn't deserve it. Although he didn't merit it. He didn't even have to ask for it. God come to him and said, what do you want? Speak to the storm. He cared about the prophet's hunting trip. He cares about every single detail of your life. A lot of times we'll just put things in the prophet's hour or put things for someone else. But God, he cares for those details in your life today. You're just willing to lay them before him. Amen. We're needy people. As our brother said, we're getting ready to... There's a junction. It's coming up. God's going to make a turn. We got to go with him. He cares that you make that. But do you care to make that? Our action should show it. Our desire should show it. Everything that comes from us should be pushing for rapture right now. Amen? You're going to fail. You're going to fall. Amen? But yet he said that he would what? He would supply all your needs. Amen? He is Jehovah Jireh. Amen? We understand that Brother Branham said he was El Shaddai, the breasted God. Amen? He is more than able if you'll just nurse. Amen? The message of this hour, can you nurse? God help us. Amen? I feel inspired. I feel hungry for God. And your Bible says, they that thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. They shall be filled. I pray that you found to be hungry this evening. Amen. Let's just sing the Lord's little song. Sing, I love you, Lord. I lift my voice. Let's just keep this atmosphere. You enjoy this atmosphere. I pray you feel it. I'm not the only one. I hope I'm not. But I pray that you can feel the Spirit of God just going around you. He deserves more than 10 minutes. He deserves more than just an hour sermon or a little bit over an hour. He deserves everything we can give. And you know, one thing I'll say is that, I hope this is okay, but Brother Brandon, Brother Jared and his wife, Brother Brandon's wife, they drove past coming here. It sounded like they were at. It sounded like they weren't going to get here for a long time. For some reason, it's just. I told him I'd wait in back, and that he could come back during service. And he somehow, some way, something just happened, and he was already here. He gave us the road. We know where the road's at. But by the grace of God, like I said to Brother Brandon, things can go fast when you're in heavenly places. Amen. I want to get caught in divine love. I pray you want to get caught in divine love. Divine love is something you can't express unless the Holy Ghost is in you expressing it out. We have to yield to that.